Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
I think really I'm the Captain Softy too, because I love him so much that, you know, I'm looking at him and say, yeah, it's been a tough day. Yeah, you want to get a beer? You want to go grab a beer?
let's do that 21?
Right there. All right, well, so you're here.
I remember going down to the bowels of the building we lived in and getting, this is foreign, getting the handyman to stick a nail into the coconut so we could get the coconut milk out.
Wow. Mr. Handyman, I will not be able to get hydrated unless you put a nail in the coconut.
Put the nail in the coconut and drink it all down.
What are the other frustrations?
I bump into a lot of stuff. So, like, I have, like, lots of bruises all the time.
I really didn't realize it was that small,
well,
Arthur.
No, I mean,
really,
like,
had no idea.
Like, the bathroom door, because the chimney is behind it, so you're like, you open the door.
Yeah.
Actually, since our door handle fell off, not as big of a deal.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Welcome to The Mike O'Mara Show. We are enjoying our second decade of the show that has become a daily routine for thousands of listeners in great places like Maple Grove, Minnesota, Barcelona, Spain, Exeter, New Hampshire, Jackson, Tennessee, Boulder, Colorado, and Orgenstad, Aruba. I still don't know whether I'm pronouncing that correctly, but if I'm not, I'm not. Rob Spiewak is attending to his bride, who is having a medical procedure today, so he will not be joining us.
Are we going to be cagey about it?
I don't think so. I think we talked about...
She's getting rhinoplasty.
She's getting rhinoplasty for medical reasons, and then they are doing a bit of a cosmetic procedure. We were, correct me if I'm wrong, we were transparent on this, right?
We talked about it on air, and we asked Rob, when is there ever going to be something for him?
Yeah, exactly. You know? Right, like a 9-hour liposuction procedure or something like that.
Did you say you wanted to get your eyes done, or did he say he wanted to get his eyes done?
By the way, I'm as fat as I've ever been. Not as fat as I've ever been, but I'm fat again. And my wife does not have anything on her schedule today. So when we conclude taping this, my wife said, how about a little meal? And I said, what? I said, how about pho, which I always find is the Vietnamese soup that's very good for you, very nourishing, very helpful.
A lot of skinny girls eat pho.
Yeah, and Carla said, how about pizza? I said, you want pizza again? And Carla, of course, is on her way as we speak to the place called Burn, where she is going to burn calories. And in any event, I have my physical. I know what I have to do. But Carrie is getting a procedure done, and then Rob's going to be with her today.
He didn't want to. We forced him.
Yeah, to be a good husband. That's what we did.
Look, a relationship is about support.
Yes.
And trust.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing when they say no, that it actually means yes.
And because of that, yesterday, on yesterday's show, I talked about the fact that, we have to play your music. Mm. That it would be a show that is truly dedicated to you. A show all about you, your likes, your dislikes. Now, I have outlined a show.
For a decade, I've been wanting this.
For you. Finally. Because I thought that, the truth of the matter, let's turn that off. I think the truth of the matter when it comes to you is that you, more than Rob, certainly, and certainly more than me, come from not only a different program entirely, but you come from a different perspective because of your age entirely. It's been a great balance. You skew younger with some of the things that interest you. And I'm not talking about, you're an old man too.
I'm holding like that cat that we used to have in our dorm rooms. I'm just hanging on.
Hanging on by your fingernails.
Yeah, a little poster.
I get that. But you have always had, I think, you have evolved into a state of mind where you understand me, you understand Rob. But I think that, well, Rob is an old soul and doesn't like anything contemporary, and I'm 62. So when I talk about, I mean, I'll be playing a clip in the digital dumpster today of a singing group that I think you will probably think the reason I like it is because I'm old. But I like them, and you'll hear that later on. That's what that's the perspective that you have always offered. And I think that because of that, sometimes it's a good idea for you just to get it all off your chest. And that's what this opportunity
and
is today.
And the way, like, I'm not an ageist. I just know that I wasn't here for the moon landing. I wasn't on this earth for that. I wasn't alive for the storming of Normandy. Like, I wasn't there.
I wasn't either. Thank you very much.
Excuse me. Yeah, I wasn't the Blitzkrieg. I just
that would have made me 1944, 45. I was multiple years away from my birth.
Were you alive when President Truman was alive? And in
no, no.
Oh, okay. What about Roosevelt?
I was born in 1959.
Okay, who was
I am
president
62.
When you were born?
It was the last, it was right before Kennedy was elected. So that was Eisenhower.
See,
President Eisenhower.
Like, if I see that,
Nixon as his vice president.
When I think of Eisenhower, I think of a black and white movie and the Ike pin.
Well, it was that yes. time. And when I think of the 50s, you know, I was playing
golf.
You were
alive during radio days. Oh my God.
No, radio days were before my time. See, that's where this is good. This is why there might be a little exposing of your limited capacity.
Well,
in
I'm also
areas,
not from this
you know.
Land. I can tell you about dictators in Bolivia.
Well, see that. There
yeah,
you go.
Yeah.
There you go. I mean,
that?
There's really. I mean, how often when you really think of it, with the two big mouths that you work with, how often do we really? Let me give you. I can do this off the top of my head. I can give you a cursory picture of what we know about Oscar.
I love it.
Because it's what I know, so it's what the listeners know too. I know you are from Bolivia.
Yes, La Paz.
I know you. You immigrated to this country legally.
Yes.
With your father, who was an educated man and a medical man.
Epidemiologist.
I know that you moved to...
On Eastern Airlines.
Oh, you see? You're not that young.
Well, no, we took...
If you flew Eastern Airlines, you're not that young.
We took Lloyd Ario Boliviano, now defunct. Crashed in too many
It
mountains.
Was called Lloyd Ario Boliviano?
Boliviano, yes. Now defunct.
Why was it called Lloyd? Why did they have the gringo name on it?
It was two L's. Lloyd.
Lloyd,
yeah.
That sounds like a British company.
Well, you know, it's a landlord company. I imagine.
Like Lloyd's of London.
I wish, Mike. It was basically a cargo plane with seats. And we made it to Colombia. I remember as a little kid. And then Colombia, the leg went from Colombia to Miami.
Let's slow down because this is all about you. We don't have to rush through this because I can ask you about
stories.
This. So how old were you when you left Bolivia?
I was, well... Much like the Dominican baseball players, I was 3.
But you were really 18. No. That's what they do. They go that direction where they say they're 18 when they're really 35.
Yes, yeah. They go in a different direction.
You were 3 years old and...
When I came to the States.
Your siblings were all older than you were.
Yes.
And you said you remember. So I've never asked you this. I've never asked you this on the show. So when you see, I knew it. Sometimes that's what I'm good at. I get a gut and I know how things are going to work. But this is what happens. I was curious. You're 3 years old and you're leaving Bolivia. And you can joke about the cargo plane. But seriously, this was a planned immigration. You were not fleeing from anything. You were not leaving.
No.
Your father was not persecuted in any way politically. You had
it's
hard for you to remember. I don't remember stuff when I'm 3 years old.
Well, I remember because I ask a lot of questions. When you're the youngest, you have a lot of questions. We came to the States because my father had a what not a diplomatic post, but essentially a diplomatic post in the States.
WHO, right?
Yeah,
World Health Organization?
For a year. So it was a year contract, and it was year to year for a little over a decade, because that's just how they did it.
And so let me ask this. So your father, comes to work for the WHO in the United States.
Yes.
He has a year-to-year contract.
Yes.
He is raising his family in the United States. Yep. His family is becoming slowly but surely assimilated into the United States. And for you're telling me for a decade, it was year-to-year whether y'all would hop on a plane and head back to Bolivia?
Well, it was we would go back every year, I remember early on, but it was year to year if we were going to stay in the States. So my father didn't find out if
we were
going to stay.
So you'd go back for a visit.
We'd go back for a visit and then fly back. And I don't know the iterations of those negotiations, but Mike, it's like when you're a contractor, but you're a contractor for your country to a larger organization.
So your father was technically working for Bolivia?
But Bolivia had to, it was some sort of sponsorship deal. The government had to like sign off.
So when you might not know the answer to this since you were only 3 years old. So when you came to this country, your dad was contract year to year with the WHO.
Yes.
Was he someone who wanted to have his family grow up in the United States?
Oh, desperately.
With a better life?
For a better life. You know, education unlocked everything I have and my family has. And I know that may sound pompous, but my father and mother grew up dirt poor, and my father, and I know I joke a lot about him, but his father died when he was 11 years old. He was shipped off to an aunt's house. So basically he grew up without a father, not really a mother because so let me rewind. My father's father, my grandfather, was a miner. And in Bolivia, you mine for tin. And my father had a really great aptitude for math super early on. And when you're in Latin America, it's like you kind of like hang out at your dad's workplace, even though he's working in the mine. You kind of go with all the kids. And the foreman there said, hey, your son's got a real aptitude for math. I just see him like, you know, I'll just quiz him once in a while. Maybe he can come help. So instead of playing outside, he can come help right after school. So the foreman saw some aptitude in my father very early on and said, you're too smart.
And who was working at the mine at this particular time?
My grandfather.
Your grandfather.
Yes.
And your grandfather raised your father.
My father, yes.
Okay. After his father died.
So
No. His your grandfather, his dad worked at the mine.
His dad.
And when did your father's dad die?
When he was 11. And at 11
years
old.
So this is prior to being 11 years old. He gets pegged for the math ability.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
And then he gets rolled into working, you know, at the mine site and working like books and doing like, you know, simple math. When he's a child.
Wow. I didn't know that.
And then my grandfather passes. My father just believes it was a heart attack, but who knows?
When you say who knows, why do you say
because
that?
Because living as a miner is not necessarily the healthiest of lives.
Okay, okay.
You know?
All right. I get it. I got
the black lung pop. Who knows?
Right.
So the foreman says, well, your father's not here. And you know how a machista, you know, Latin America used to be. Like it was a lot of machismo. He said, you can't stay in this town. It was a very poor town. And says, we have a handful of scholarships that the mine gives out for schools for our miners' kids.
Wow.
Sends him to another town where the scholarship is good. And then he moves in with his aunt at 11 years old and is now going to what is essentially a private school.
So he, on a pure break,
yes,
he got out of the cycle of poverty where he was and was able to go to a decent school and live with the aunt, and the rest is history,
correct. Right? But I mean, scholarships through med school, scholarships through undergrad, scholarships through everything.
I mean, he was just, and when you say education, you're not here, your brothers and sisters aren't here without education, and
no,
that's the way it works.
That gave him the posting in the States.
So when he goes to the United States, when he gets that,
yes,
he is thinking in terms of, in advance of leaving for America, is he saying, I think this is going to be a good thing, and I want my kids to grow up because they're going to have better opportunities in America? Or is he just taking a job because the job's there, and if it pans out, it pans out? Is that, what's the attitude?
Thank you for asking. So, and I'm happy. You know, I make so much fun of my father on the show.
No, but this is the reason I said this yesterday. We never do this. We never do this. We never take a look at you.
My father actually went through med school in Bolivia. He was the president of his university and the med school. And to this day, he still has ties to the med school there. So there's a difference between an MD.
Wait, go back on that one. He was the he became the president of the university.
Yes.
Of the med school.
Yes.
The dean of the med school.
No, I'm sorry. The student body president. Student body president.
Student body president. Yes. See, that's why. That's why I go back on stuff like that. Awfully young for a student to do that. So he's president of a student body.
Yes. And he started his own practice. Had a successful practice, moved from town to town. Regular doctor, and then became the mayor of the town where he met my mom.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
I did. You might have referenced it, but I don't remember. So he's not only the doctor, but he's the mayor?
He's the mayor.
So he's a celebrity, I would assume.
He's a celebrity.
Right? He's a big deal.
So he's 30, and don't judge. Well, Mike won't judge, but Diablo Blancos might. So he's 30, he's a celebrity, and then he's like, who's the smoke show who's 19 and lives in El Pueblo? And finds
is El Pueblo like a suburb or
no,
a
I'm
rural?
Just saying the town.
Okay, all right.
I don't know if this would fly in
Was the age difference between your mom and dad?
30 and 19, so what, 9, 10 years?
So 9, years, 10 years,
years
which
years, 11 years?
Was probably pretty significant in Bolivia in those days.
No,
right?
That's normal.
No? That's normal. Okay, 30 and
like
19.
Like you and Carla in Latin America right now would be normal. They have people
okay.
be like, oh, they call,
it's good
be like,
to hear.
Yeah, it's just, that's what you do.
That's good to hear.
Have you seen Modern
that's
Family?
Good.
That's normal
like
for
this.
Us.
All right. So, but why is he a doctor and then he goes into like local politics? Why does he want to be the mayor too?
Why do I do what I do. You have a fire inside of you.
Struggle. He likes the struggle.
So clearly, it's
he wasn't
DNA.
Working hard enough. He wanted another job. It's always said the Zaballos family always keeping their bases covered.
In
it's
DNA.
Wonderful. Yeah.
So
okay, so that's cool. So he meets your mom
they get married. He ends up leaving the small town. You know, the middle America town compared to what we have here for the capital, La Paz.
La Paz.
Yes, where he continues to practice medicine and then has a passion for public health, finds a passion for public health.
Well, that's kind of the way he's been going with being a mayor and a doctor.
Correct.
He's involved in policy. He likes to deal with policy.
Bingo.
So he likes to,
bingo.
And that's and when you talk about the WHO, there's probably no organization that's more involved with, you know, policy. And of course they've been under fire lately with the CDC.
Correct.
They've all
correct.
Been under fire with the pandemic, you know. What is he, can I ask one question about him before we move on with this? What does your dad believe when it comes to the origins of COVID? Does he believe that this came out of a lab somewhere? Because, I mean, there's a lot of argument about whether it has or it hasn't. And it's not all that political. It's just, where do you think this originated? Where does he think that
so if you recall, he rotated us all. He was ringing the bell about COVID in 2019, at Christmas, he told us.
Okay.
And he couldn't get in touch with any of his colleagues about what's happening in China. And he'd been retired for almost 15 years, just contracting. And he warned my sister and brother to get their hospitals, like to start looking at their contingency plans.
About COVID,
about
where it was coming.
I literally said to my father, and I have apologized since then. I said,
here you go.
This is Christmas dinner. I said, Dad, you're bumming us out. This is Christmas dinner.
Yeah, and he was right.
And he was pissed. He said, how about, he like, you barked at me in Spanish. And he said, so that's when you turn into a little kid and you're like, okay, continue.
So he saw this coming.
I didn't know.
People in the know in the WHO saw this thing
they
coming.
Didn't
a lot
know.
Of people looked the other way, too.
My dad actually was ringing the bell and nobody, like, if his own family's not listening to him right away.
Yeah.
Right?
It's got to be right in
I
front of us.
I actually said, hey, Dad, this isn't this These third world countries have been traveling to, leaving my childhood, me alone my entire life. This is the U.S. This is not going to happen here.
This is U.S. of A. Nothing's going to happen to us here. No
wrong.
Problem at all. All right. So your dad brings you over to the United States.
He pursues public health. He gets a PhD. And then we end up going through, I guess, the machinations of public policy, political posts, and then international posting. We end up in the States.
And when you arrive, so you're there for, you go there, you're coming back to visit Bolivia, but you basically stay when you arrive. You stay in the United States. And how much, your next brother, Jose, is what, four years older than you. So so Jose is seven, and Tatiana is how old?
6 years older than me.
6 years older. And so she's
like 10, 11.
9 or 10.
Yeah.
And so he's got the whole family here, but it was year to year. I didn't know it was year to year.
Yeah. And I think that's what's like probably, imprinted in a young child when it was always like, we're not buying a house. We're saving. We're not doing anything. We're saving because we're out of here. Right. This next year.
Right.
Like, we didn't know.
Right.
And during that time, a debt of gratitude to my mother, not just for being a smoke show in the town that my dad was a mayor, and then them getting together. And then making me and my sister and brother, but also my mother, she pursued her education, like many immigrants. When you come to the States, you have to start over. But
that's what I was gonna I was gonna ask you about that next. When you do that, what did your mom work when she was back
in
Bolivia?
She was pursuing nursing.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Okay.
And she was valedictorian of her class, so she was great.
Did she speak any English at all?
She did not.
Okay.
So I think the true, I guess when I think of immigrants, especially that people that are, you know, living by the rules of the society that they move into and try to assimilate, I think of my mom, because my mom took a job at a beauty salon, which was in walking distance from the apartment building we lived, something that she had never done before. And she pursued that job just one to make some extra money for the family, but also to get right into society and figure out what's going on, what's the best path for my kids if we stay. And through that esthetician job, Mike,
I didn't know she was an esti.
Yeah. That's why I'm so supportive of Dermglow. Like,
that's cool.
I grew up
that's
with
cool.
That.
I had no idea. That's awesome.
And,
she was doing facials. That's amazing.
She met my Uncle Bob, who owned a beauty salon, who sponsored her citizenship. And I remember taking years. I'm talking almost a decade. Because my father, you know, he still flies back to Latin America every 6 months. Like, he has a diplomatic passport.
So he's not a citizen
of
the United States. And your dad, did your dad speak English when he came to the United States?
He did, but not as well as he does now. But he did.
Okay. All right. So they come back and he's got a prestigious position with the WHO. But outside of that, when he goes home on the weekends and the evenings, when he's coming back home, you're a English challenged immigrant family living in the United States. That had to be. I mean, what was that like?
You don't know it's tough until like you grow up and you have these like realizations of like, oh, my God, I remember hanging out with the cleaning man at the apartment building because there was thunderstorms and nobody was home, and I was a little boy and I would open the door to look for an adult and he'd be like, are you okay? And I'd be like crying. I remember wailing, and the cleaning guy would come in because he was buffing the floors, like this old like formica floor that we used to have in
Where were your siblings? Were they at school?
They were at school. I don't know how little I was. I don't remember. I feel like I was so little that I barely could unlatch the door to see if there was if my mom or dad were coming home. Like,
is there any chance that you were the surprise child?
Probably.
Have you ever asked?
Don't want to know.
Oh, you don't want to. You want to know everything, but you don't want to know that.
I don't need to know that. I want to believe I was conceived under moonlight. And stars and candlelight and swooning.
So I'm getting this, and tell me if I'm wrong about it.
Yes.
Your mom was the driving force, even though her English to this day is not as good as your dad's. Your mom was the driving force of, we're coming to America and we're going to establish a life here. Would that be accurate?
Yes.
She was all in on the American experience.
My father, I don't think, had a choice because I realize as I get older, sometimes when you have tunnel vision and you're just working,
yeah,
you don't think of like these this other path that might be available.
But he's working his way up in the WHO, right?
I mean, he's doing very well at work,
and he's traveling a lot too, right?
Traveling
he's
going a lot. Spent and, a year of that time in Japan, almost 2 years in Japan.
Right. Tony. And then, by the way, we found out on another show that there was a Japanese-Bolivian connection, right? Yeah. Wasn't there some kind of immigration of Japanese to Bolivia?
There's a huge Japanese contingent in Bolivia. My mother's father is half Japanese, if I'm not mistaken. But to make to full circle, I get to the States. I stay in the States because my mom pursued citizenship. That path. That's why when people are like just why don't why, like it? It's hard. It's hard when people have a certain level of education. It's hard when you're a professional. Imagine how it is if you don't have an education and you're just here to be a day laborer.
Yeah, like my buddy Oli, who literally came across the border. I mean, that's it's got to be amazingly difficult to deal with that. And meanwhile, you're getting your assimilation information by watching The Magic Box. Is that how you're doing it primarily?
I learned English, and maybe this is why it is the way it is, from Sesame Street and reading Rainbow.
Hey, a lot of kids did. Yes. A lot of kids did. A lot of kids learned a lot of stuff from Sesame Street back in the day.
And I remember I lived in a building that was just full of immigrants, so you didn't know.
So would you watch like when they do the letter A and the letter B, would you be like watching that
there
with
was
rapt
no nanny.
Attention?
That's me. Sitting there being like, oh, I have a cousin named Grover, but there's also a Grover on the actual, and there's an Oscar.
And like, never any dangerous things that happened where you did stupid stuff or you ran into the wrong person or anything?
No, I think my parents, I joke about this, but if you look at the body work or the data points, Mike, as we've always said in the past, I think they wanted me to be abducted because one less mouth to feed. I'm sure they were like, this kid, he thinks he knows everything.
One less mouth to feed, you know.
Yeah, he's always calling work on the rotary phone being like, I'm scared, you know, all alone at home. When are you coming home?
Who was the driving force with the other siblings getting into medicine? Was your dad pretty much the, you know, because, I mean, it's always interesting to me when you see people that pursue the same career that their parents do, you know, and it's if it would follow, there's usually, well, you know, some of the kids follow the mom's example. Yes. Some of the kids follow dad's. I'm surprised you're not an esthetician, too.
Yeah, I love the way skin that, and women.
That's the way it works.
So my parents never put pressure on my brother and sister. And I think that really helped because my sister didn't decide to go to medical school till like late in her undergraduate when she switched her majors. My brother was going to be a biomedical engineer. He was a major at UMBC for biomedical engineering, and then he switched to pre-med. So
pre-med.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that just happened. But
that
you also have to have the influence that it is possible.
Well, they didn't put pressure on, but there was your father as an example.
They forgot
sitting
about
out there.
Me. They were just like, this kid.
Yeah, I try. Look, when you have a kid, you're always trying to do the pressure thing. And I got it in the car waiting for the school bus today where, Dad, I was thinking about playing another sport. And I said, well, what sport do you want to play now? He's always he wants to play soccer. And, you know, I know you wouldn't mind that at all, but I went, I'm going to turn it up.
It'll be a top four sport once.
I'm sorry, Oscar. His sports docket is full. But it's baseball and all that.
You know, my greatest takeaway from my parents is that I've learned my work ethic was just driven by them.
Because they're working all the time. Yeah.
So if your kid sees you working, I mean, I know that there's balance. You have need love and stuff. Do that. Find the weekends. But if they see you work, like if you have a troubled child right now, and I say this to parents all the time, like, look, my kid's like now, he's like just graduating. I said, I know you. You work all the time. When he or she finds their passion in their lane, like they will apply that type of gear because they've seen it from you. They have that gear inside of them.
I can't even get my kid to walk the dog last night, so it was a little frustrating with that. He had a little overload yesterday, Michael, yeah. And I think about that sometimes because his day, is the first day of school. Today was the second day as we took him to the bus. So yesterday he came home and he had to practice piano and then he had his Spanish lesson. So it was a little bit – I did feel for him. And then when I started being Captain Softy – where I'm sitting in this office on the couch because his little keyboard is in here. That's when, Tiger Mom in the kitchen was just like, he's going to do it. He's going to do it. And she's the driving force there. She's the one. And she's by the way, she's broken a cycle. She's going to rock and roll. That's why she's always out there getting stuff done. And, she's been nesting in a corner of our bedroom for the last probably 4 days where we went to the box store and bought her a new desk.
Yeah.
She's had this tiny little desk in
she's
the kitchen.
She's got a little office set up
and,
now.
And she now has the full-fledged thing. Yeah. She's out of her mind. And, I think really I'm the Captain Softy, too, because I love him so much that, I'm looking at him and say, yeah, it's been a tough day. Yeah, you want to get a beer? You want to go grab a beer?
Let's do that 21? Right there.
All right. Well, so you're here. At a certain point, when was the point where it wasn't a 1 year contract? Where, hey, you're here. And by the way, when it was year to year, did that cause any anxiety on your brothers and sisters, on your mother? Every year because they didn't want to go back, right?
We didn't want to go back, and my mom would prepare us probably in October. To go back at the end of the year. So we're always like saying bye to our friends. Like, we don't know if we'll be here.
How many, for like 10 years you're doing that?
A decade of that. I remember. Oh my God.
When do you have a memory as a child of the moment where you knew that wasn't going to happen anymore?
Yes.
Okay, tell me about that. I want to hear about that
part.
My
father, the skinflint, God bless him, finally pulled us out of... the apartment we were living in and said, we can buy a townhouse.
And that's it, right? We're staying.
He's like, we're staying and we're moving to a mecca called Wheaton, Maryland.
So he comes home and he makes that announcement
And I've bought the home that will be ours for way too long, but we have one.
So how does the family react to that when he does that?
We were shocked, and we thought he was beat. Like, my dad is, he's methodical. It took him 3 years to find a townhouse. We drive around, we're like, why are we even walking in this place? We're leaving in December.
Right.
So for
With the relationship with your mom, did he confide in her and let her know everything that was going on? Or do you think he knew that he was on the way to making this a permanent position where he was going to be, where you guys were going to be staying in the United States?
I don't think he knew because my father, as you get older, you realize like your father starts sharing stuff, like things he goes. And I've actually asked my father, I said, what was it like to live year to year?
Yeah.
And maybe, Mike, we know this. It's the radio business.
Oh, it's the radio business, and the greatest moment of my life was when I got a 7-year contract. It was the moment of my life.
I don't know what that feels like. God bless you.
I know, but it was the moment by the way, they're all irrelevant contracts. But it was at the time, it felt amazing. I was up in Maine with my family, and I'm on the phone with my agent, and we're finding out that this is going on. And prior to that, it's extremely insecure. He finds out that at a certain point, he only pulls the trigger on the townhouse when he finds out that he is...
We're staying, baby.
You're going to be staying. That had to be just amazing for your family, right?
Yeah, because if you think about the upward mobility of an immigrant apartment in Silver Spring, Maryland. Like, I was in Silver Spring when they started building the metro.
Okay.
The upward mobility is you see, like, all of your... Because it's younger families. You see all of your friends leaving through that 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you're still bebopping around. Like, now you run the building. I remember going down to the bowels of the building we lived in and getting, this is foreign, getting the handyman to stick a nail into the coconut so we could get the coconut milk out.
Wow.
I ran Border Town. I was skateboarding down...
Mr. Handyman, I will not be able to get hydrated unless you put a nail in the coconut.
put the nail in the coconut and drink it all down. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to continue. I told you, everybody, this is a fascinating first segment. This is all about Oscar. We will take a commercial break, have a little you know, homepage for you, and we need the thump, thump.
Yeah, I got
thump,
it.
Thump,
I got
thump,
it.
Thump. There you go. And when we come back, you had it. You got it. And when we come back, ladies and gentlemen, the homepage, and then later on, Shannon's going to join us because this is all about Oscar. You are listening to the Mike O'Mara Show, and we're finding out everything about the Bolivian bloviator on today's show. We will take a break and come back with our news right after this, everybody.
I just never pictured Jim Amato getting high. I just don't.
Well, he was a heroin addict.
Yes, that was the old me. With a beastly monkey on my back known as junk, horse, H, or Chinese rock. It wasn't pretty. I'd do anything for a fix of China White, Skag, or the snow. Dancing in 2-bit dive bars, selling platelets at the free clinic, or turning tricks out behind the digital dumpster for truckers and hobos. Anything to get my smack fix. But then I saw the light. The TMOS Bonus Show, an exclusive shot-in-the-arm hour of comedy that comes to my TMOS app every Friday. Filled with naughty words and profound musings, it's the cure that got me off the horse. Now I'm high on laughs. The results have been amazing. I don't have the shakes, I can eat solid food, and I'm 2 inches taller since I bought my first subscription. Treat yourself to a subscription today to the TMOS Bonus Show and see what good living is all about.
Thank you, Jim Amato. Glad you kicked that horrible beast. Got that monkey off your back. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Cornerstone. Hey, when was the last time you refinanced? If it's been more than a year, we should talk about how much money you could be saving. The stalled economy and the Delta variant, turn that down just a little bit. The stalled economy and the Delta variant have pushed interest rates back to the lowest levels in a year. Add in double-digit appreciation, and it's the perfect storm to take cash out or simply refinance to a lower rate or term. You need to call the only company that I recommend, my friend Mark Livingstone and his team at Cornerstone First Financial. Cornerstone First is a direct lender, which means they have their own money, and they guarantee to meet or beat any competitor. At the end of the day, you go with the company you like, you trust, the one that offers benefits, savings, and solutions. Cornerstone is that company. We love them. We've known them for years, and we can trust them. Send them a recent mortgage statement and instantly see how much money they can save you. Loan officers are working overtime to accommodate what is likely the last opportunity to take advantage of the lowest rates ever. Call your local, licensed, and ethical loan officer now at Cornerstone First Financial. 202-625-1221. That's 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com and do it now.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device. It's what you need to
great
know.
Great board work, Oscar.
Hold on. I'll hit it again. All right. You just turn that up. You ready? You ready?
Ready.
All right. Here we go.
From the four corners of the world.
That seems really low.
It's
hold
really
on
low.
Just a second. Let me, it's not on my end, but let me see what's going on here. All right.
From the four corners
still
of
low.
The world.
It's still low. I don't know why that's
I think it's
low
on your everything. End.
Maybe it is on it, but I didn't touch
it. I love
anything.
It when I'm wrong and right.
From the four corners of the world wide web and into your digital device. It's what you need to know.
Yeah.
This is the homepage.
Sure. It's on my end. Anyway, Christina Applegate. This is bad news. Christina Applegate has multiple sclerosis.
Oh,
this
no.
This is a drag. She is such a talented lady. In a series of tweets, she said, quote, "Hi, friends. A few months ago, I was diagnosed with MS. It's been a strange journey, but I've been so supported by people that I know who also have this condition. It's been a tough road, but as we all know, the road keeps going. Unless some a-hole blocks it." That's great. She's funny. She added, quote, "As one of my friends that has MS said, we wake up and take the indicated action, and that's what I do. So now I ask for privacy as I go through this thing. Thank you, XO." She's also a breast cancer survivor. She's had a tough life.
Brutal.
She's 49 years old, and she's made some really, really great, great quality comedy in her lifetime, and I wish her nothing but the best. Production on Christina's Netflix series, Dead to Me, has been paused temporarily. Such a good show. Oh, what a shame. Netflix and CBS Studios said, quote, "We love and support Christina and respect her privacy as she takes the time and space she needs in this moment. MS is a disease of the central nervous system that disrupts the flow of information within the brain and between the brain and the body."
Ah, boy. It affects an estimated 2.3 million people worldwide. Celebrities who are dealing with it include Selma Blair, Jamie Lynn Sigler, Montel Williams, and Jack Osborne. So it's just a drag. I hate doing it, but it's part of showbiz story, and I wanted to share it with you right now. Remember back in May when Jennifer Aniston and David Schwimmer both confessed during the Friends reunion that they were secretly crushing on each other?
Yeah, big deal. Big news.
I found it hard to believe, but apparently they said they did that back in the day. Well, that's all it took for the rumors to get ramped up. A so-called source says they've been texting each other since the reunion. A so-called source. Ida, do you buy it? Do you buy this at all?
Look, David Schwimmer seems like a nice person from all accounts.
Yeah, he seems like a nice person. Yeah, I don't like his work.
Star,
but, you know.
Let's look at her body count, right? You've got Brad Pitt. Right, and then she was married to who's that dreamboat in that HBO series Mosquito?
I know who you're talking about.
Pony, look him up. Look up for hot guys in HBO series. Google
it's
that.
Not Justin Theroux.
Yes, thank you. You know
is
you're
it Justin Theroux.
Yes,
I do.
The guys.
I love my handsome man. I really, really do. Yeah, yeah. Her standards. Yeah. Schwimmer doesn't fit into that mold.
No, she's
that's
not
what
slumming
I was
with Schwimmer.
Right. Well, David supposedly flew from his home in New York to see her in L.A. where she's making him home-cooked meals and taking him to her favorite vineyards. That sounds like BS, BS, BS
also,
right there.
They're friends. Like, what if he's just, like, hanging out? Maybe he lives in New York. He's like, can I stay at your place? No big deal.
Right. Yeah, the room down the hall with the double lock on it. The reps denied the rumors last night, but for all we know, they're just on a break. During the reunion, David said, quote, the first season I had a major crush on Jen, and she responded. And she responded, it was reciprocated. So make of that what
so
you will.
You're making out with somebody on set on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be some level of attraction.
Well, if there is, that would take it to the whole nother level. Mm. A hotel in the UK will soon be offering stays in as we become more childlike, as all our medicine becomes gummies and all that. This is going to be a Willy Wonka themed room.
Ooh.
It's going to have the lickable wallpaper. Lickable wallpaper. This is happening at the Chocolate Box, which is a chocolate themed hotel in Bournemouth, England. It's on the southern coast, a little over 100 miles southwest of London, if you want to, you know, get your tickets. In addition to the lickable wallpaper in a variety of fruity flavors, there is also a chocolate fountain with fruit and marshmallows for dipping and bowls of candy that can be restocked at no extra charge. The room key even looks like a golden ticket, and you can take a bath in chocolate if you want to. You have your own chocolate river.
This is great PR. Mike, you've remodeled homes in the past. Have you ever dealt with wallpaper?
No, I actually have dealt with a lot of paint because we just don't do the wallpaper outside of taking it down. I know as a matter of fact, that's how I dealt with wallpaper is taking it, removing it from my old house.
Imagine if both sides were sticky.
Right. It's disgusting. They say, it's right down at the end, the lickable wallpaper is changed in between guests.
Can you
so I guess it's something that they, you know what? You know what it'll probably be? Just like a little square, and they change the square every time a new guest.
We're in the middle of a goddamn pandemic.
Well,
we shouldn't be licking anything that's hanging on a wall.
Totally agree with you. If it's, by the way, it's not that expensive to stay there. It's like an expensive hotel, $277 a night. But the chocolate baths are about $208 per.
This gives me more confidence to never go there. Mm-hmm. Like, tell me it's $3,000, then I know you're paying the right person to change out that slab.
It's, again the infantilization. Is that the right word? Of the American and Western culture, where we all have to go back to our babyhood. And
Rondo
I get
has
tired
electrolytes.
Of it. That's the way I look at it. I've always looked at it that way. The hard seltzer trend has been losing steam. This is related. Could hard soda be the next big
thing? Yes, and I know where you're going with this. I saw the story this morning. I can't wait.
Pepsi announced they are going to start selling Boozy Mountain Dew next year. They're partnering with the Boston Beer Company, which owns Sam Adams and the hard seltzer brand Truly. And I'm a Truly fan. I like the Trulys. They're calling it Hard Mountain Dew, and it's about 5% alcohol. Statistics show that meth sales will be going down once this hits the market. Now, you're all in on this?
Well, I look at the PepsiCo just sold their orange juice line because juices aren't hot anymore, right? They're going
right.
With the, so the idea that they're actually making Mountain Dew with alcohol is a page out of any 4-year party school in America, where you would actually mix vodka and Mountain Dew and make something special.
Well, here's the good part for me. Unlike normal Mountain Dew, it won't have any sugar.
This is great.
This is truly amazing. I love the taste of Mountain Dew, always have, and there's no caffeine in it either.
I think there's a stigma with Mountain Dew that you're just trashy if you're into it.
Well, you heard the Mountain Dew mouth, right?
Yeah, where people drink it. I disagree. Mountain Dew is a great soda, and that stigma is not appropriate.
I will try the Mountain Dew, hard Mountain Dew, when it comes out. If it's sugar-free, that's awesome. The first, a photo of the can shows three different flavors. The first one is original.
Yeah.
The other two are watermelon and black cherry. So it's kind of a hard seltzer. That's it. But if it's got better flavor,
if it tastes like Mountain Dew, all in. Yeah. Send me to Betty Ford.
Excited. Very excited. Oscar, you are a planner. You are not a procrastinator. This might be shocking to people who put stuff off, but all you're doing when you don't plan is making things harder on yourself. We have a friend who's talking about birthday plans in a year and doesn't really think they have to deal with it. But my sister, on the other hand, she'll plan a party a year and well over a year in advance to get
surprises.
Things done. Yeah. Researchers talked to 2,000 people who describe themselves as planners or procrastinators, and they found, I don't think this is a shock, planners tend to be happier, healthier, and less stressed, and they have more money. And the people that are procrastinating are all the opposites in that. They don't save. They don't have that. So
it's tough. I know procrastinators that somehow made it through life and do what, like, they actually have done very well for themselves.
Yeah,
planning is analysis paralysis, where you're like, I can't do this. I can't do that. I fall in the middle where I'm happy to be planned for or to plan.
Well, it just, the example I have is my sister and their family.
Oh.
They're big planners.
They can buy or sell us.
They have their act together, damn it. And now a little something. 35-year-old Kyle Clark was driving in Chicago Sunday night and sideswiped another car, but he didn't pull over at first. The other driver happened to be an off-duty cop who had a buddy in the car with him, so they pulled up next to Kyle and started yelling at him to stop, which he finally did. But then as soon as they stepped out of their cars, Kyle started throwing punches. He hit the off-duty cop twice in the face, so the cop's buddy jumped in to help. And he's the one that got the worst of it, because Kyle latched onto his nipple and bit it off.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Once the fight was over, the friend who lost a nipple got stitches at a nearby hospital to close the wound. We don't know if they were able to sew it back on. Kyle's facing charges for leaving the scene of an accident, aggravated battery causing great bodily harm, and aggravated battery of a peace officer, because the off-duty cop identified himself as police, told the guy he was a cop. I only want to know, did they all have their headlights on? Get it? That's a nipple joke. We got to take a break, ladies and gentlemen. Nipple joke. We will come back. Is there a chance that we could fetch your bride on the All Oscar show? That would be a lot of fun.
Let's get her.
Shannon Zeballos, wife of our charming co-host, will be joining us, hopefully, when we come back from the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa.
Summertime is here, and my darn is it hot outside. Now that things are slowly heading back in the right direction, and everyone's thoughts are on the beach, the pool, vacations, and cookouts, head over to the MikeOMaraShow.com website. Click on the shopping center banner, where you can head over to Target.com or Walmart.com for your swimwear, your cookout wear, your beach chairs, and every other thing for the summer. Now let's head back to the man who is cool as a cucumber, Mike O'Mara.
Yeah, good day for Paulie. He hates those Democrats, man. He's having a big Andrew Cuomo quit party up
I've
there.
I've seen somebody lock him up on my feed.
Yeah, oh. Yeah. A lot of people excited. Isn't that great? Mm. Well, you know, a win for them, I guess. For many of us, it's back to the office and back to school time. Establishing a consistent bedtime and wake time routine is key because quality sleep helps boost energy, recovery, and well-being, people. Sleepers who use their Sleep Number 360 smart bed features and Sleep IQ technology get almost 100 hours more of quality sleep per year. Here's a fun fact. Over 33% of Sleep IQ sleepers have a preferred Sleep Number setting of 35, 40, or 45. Now, I went down to 50 last night on my sleep number bed. And so far, I haven't changed it. It's a TikTok. Remember, Internet. It's completely adjustable to you. And don't forget, children need quality sleep just as much as you do. Kids need sleep to help them be happy, healthy, and productive in school, at home, and during after-school activities. Sleep IQ technology shows your ideal sleep-wake schedule and the best times for working out and winding down. And it improves your bedtime and wake time consistency. So remember this. Go to bed and wake up at the same time, even on weekends. Dim the lights. Bright lights keep the body alert and keep a nighttime room temperature of 65 to 67 degrees, which is ideal for quality sleep. Wish I could do it with my Lennox system. It's on its last legs. Get a Sleep Number bed. I wouldn't sleep on anything else. A great day starts the night before. Here's what I want you to do. My Sleep Number setting is now, it was a 50 last night. I'm experimenting. Carla, holding steady at a 65. Time to discover the Sleep Number 360 smart bed. Right now, you can enjoy special offers, but only for a limited time. Only at Sleep Number stores or at sleepnumber.com/TMOS. That's sleepnumber.com/TMOS. Welcome back to the show, Whoa, Whoa. So I made a list. I made a list about you and your world, and it was really interesting hearing the whole bio of how you... I didn't leave anything out there, right? I mean, is that pretty much the way it went?
My father, through his work, got us to the States. We all sacrificed... maybe some more than others, me and my childhood. And then...
Because your brothers, your older siblings, were in the public school system when you were crawling around in dirty diapers.
No, right? Not dirty diapers, Mike.
Oh, you were three, so you weren't pooping yourself. All right, you were clean.
But I do remember in that... That's why roaches and and rats, they don't affect... Like, they don't scare me because there were roaches and there were rats.
In the apartment you were in. So you're crawling around when you're about 4 years old, 4 or 5 years old. You're wandering around that apartment during the day. Your mom goes off to work. Yeah. Did you ever get into anything? You're alone. I mean, what were the instructions she would leave you with at that? Do you remember it?
I remember anything, which is important, I think, for any kid.
Don't break anything.
But my parents had a great... maybe it's not traditional now, but if I did something wrong or my brother did something wrong or my sister did something wrong, they would beat all three of us. We were all punished.
So the self-policing factor would be.
Yeah. It's like you had this buddy system. It's like, hey, let's not get a beat down today.
God, horrible childhood. Anyway, where's your wife? Is she floating around anywhere? Where is she? Pony? Is she coming by? Here.
She is in a meeting and she waved me away.
Waved you off.
Oh, that sucks. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. All right, then we're gonna pivot. We're gonna talk automobiles.
Okay.
All right. So our lease is coming up on our little midsize SUV.
This is great.
That we have. And I know you are a car guy. I have thought about this, and I wanted to have this discussion with you for a very, very long time on the show. That I have found, no matter what price point you're talking about. Now, I'm not going to say when you're at the rarefied air of the elite luxury vehicles, but the middle of the pack cars, and they can be. Let me see. I want to go all the way up from say a Volvo, SUV, all the way through like a what's the Kia one, the Telluride.
Oh, I love the Telluride.
Then you got, but I just noticed that we are,
in my opinion, we seem to be swimming in sameness in the land of vehicles. So what's intriguing you lately?
Car talk. We are, if you're looking for a vehicle right now, even if you have the means and you want to pay in cash, you will wait till March to get that new vehicle at the very best. I have an example. A good friend of mine, Michael Corleone, was in the car business at one point. Mentioned to me the other day that his father went and picked up a Porsche Cayenne, right? Mm-hmm. His father is a hedge fund manager, shocker, and was paying full price. He's not going to get his car till March.
It's this microprocessor.
Yes, it's
that
a chip.
They're talking
chip
about
chip
it's
shortage.
A chip yeah. shortage of I don't know a lot about it, why it happened, where is this does this tie into that labor force
no,
issue
it's
that
a
lot
has
of people
to do with
having?
The pandemic. And just a quick snapshot, Shannon's about to walk in.
Okay.
When the pandemic hit, the car manufacturers scaled down their orders for chips. And then this is the way I understand it. I could be wrong.
Tony, you're going to have to adjust the shot so I can see Mrs. Zabalius.
I don't know everything.
And right.
I'm the first to admit that. The way I understand it is the car manufacturers, when the pandemic hit, scaled down their orders for chips because they didn't think no one saw this work from home, buy a new vehicle. Every home wants to buy a new vehicle or used vehicle. They didn't see it coming. So their forecast, when you pre-order chips, they're like, oh no, we're going to cut that chip order. And then this boom came of car sales, and they weren't expecting that. So a lot of those chips went to other Internet of Things and computers that were already like those orders went elsewhere. So now we've got this backlog of chips for the car industry. That's creating a squeeze in the used car market and the new car market. And Mike, if you're coming off lease, you're about to get bombarded by a ton of calls saying when you're giving the car back, when you're giving the car back, because as soon as it comes,
she
on the
already
lot,
got them. This is Carla's car. She's already gotten them.
Okay,
they're already
great.
Knocking on
don't
her door.
Don't give it
with
back.
Them.
You're not going to be able to get a car. You'll buy your next car at a premium of 20-30% because of the market right now.
Really?
She's not going to be able to find a car. If she does, she'll pay a premium for it.
That's a win. Quick story, yes. And then we're gonna tease. And Shannon, you can hang out for the next break. You can come in and chat with us.
Yeah, I'm here.
She's here.
All right. Turn her microphone on.
I'm here. Thank you.
Hello, Shannon. What is the lollipop you?
Headphones down? I mean, I know you hate
Pony's
me.
Doing that.
Yeah.
Pony's doing
but
that.
Good
all right.
Okay.
Do you have candy? Do you have candy? All right, very good.
Yeah, you know, I figure I roll in with a super blow pop.
Okay. Very good. We'll be talking to you in a second. Really quick before we go to break, and then we'll have a full segment with Shannon. Driving on the super slab down here, which is I-75. I'm coming back from South Florida, down in the Naples area, coming back to Fort Myers. And there is a monster truck in the left lane. And when I say monster truck, not like the one you would see at an arena,
like
but
an
certainly
F-150 with big tires.
It is, but massive tires.
Florida.
I mean, he is way, way, way up.
But not
I want your thoughts on this. So he's high enough up where it's like it stands out ridiculously, and he's driving like an a-hole. Mm-hmm. He's gunning it, and suddenly I am maybe three car lengths in back of this guy. I see the exhaust kick up like he's pegging it, like he's pushing the accelerator down all the way. Mm-hmm. He goes into the middle lane like he wants to go around the car in front of him. In front, directly in front of him, is a vet. Not a brand new vet, but a vet from maybe 5 years ago.
Okay.
He rolls right up on the vet. Obvious to me, he doesn't see the vet at all. It's out of his eye line.
Yes.
And you see parts and plastic.
Oh, no.
And you see the monster truck fishtail and pivot. You see the vet fishtail and pivot.
Right.
The guy pulls the monster truck over to the side. Mm-hmm. You see him. There's a little steam coming out of the front of his car.
Yep. Radiator.
The vet.
Yes.
Who he hit,
mm-hmm.
who he rear-ended on the highway, continues down the highway.
Stolen
flash car. Forward. So I look at the guy. I pull over. I'm in the emergency lane because I'm just looking to make sure everything's okay.
Yeah.
The guy hops out of his truck. He's checking it out. I'm busy. I had to fix the printer. I wanted to get home.
Yeah.
So I just decide I'm going to continue on. I get up at the exit, and there's the vet. And I'm like, why if you're rear-ended by somebody and there's obvious damage to your vehicle, would you not pull over? Well, the immediate thought I have is that, well, it's got to be something hinky.
Yes.
There's got to be something hinky.
Yes.
And I pull over to the right, and then finally I get right next to this vet. And I look in, and the lady is, she looks like a little bit like Mary J. Blige, but she is wearing a absolute just silver white skin tight wig with the little curls down here.
Yes.
And I can't see the guy. The guy looks like I can't eyeball him. But why would you not pull over when you have been like severely rear ended by a monster truck? They got to be doing something hinky, right?
Ex-boyfriend rear ended them.
You think he was like mad or something like that?
Yeah, he was mad, and the new boyfriend's in the car with the lady.
I don't think so.
We've done crazy things over women.
I don't think they were connected. I don't think they were connected
and
at
like
all.
Literally we're like, well, I deserve that. I'm cheating on him. I want to keep rolling.
Well, it was fascinating, and I didn't pursue it any further. I really at one point wanted to roll the window down.
Roll your window down. you seem to have some damage on the back of your car from the monster truck that just hit you at the other light. I'm just going to remind you that just happened.
I was an eyewitness. I saw you. You got hit.
I'm willing
and I've
to
got
get
your
involved as long as this doesn't take too much time. I have to go fix my brain.
Exactly. All right. We got to take a break. When we come back, Shannon will join us, and we'll get an update on the dog and the family and the miniature house and Podville and all those wonderful things. It's all about Oscar today on the Mike O'Mara Show. We will be right back after this. And Shannon, it's also a chance for you to get anything off the chest you want, okay?
Okay, thank you.
I'll be right back.
Mike O'Mara does Broadway.
Sunrise, sunset, life is a cabaret, old chum.
What's your wife's first name, since she doesn't like the show tunes?
Janine.
Hi, I'm Janine Pollock, wife of TMOS P1 listener Mike Pollock. And after my husband shared my less than stellar reviews of Mike O'Mara's show tune performances on a recent episode, I've been asked to say a few kind words about the Mike O'Mara Show. Hey, O'Mara, next time you take show tune requests, I'd be glad to help you out. The exit is right over there.
Wow.
The Mike O'Mara Show. Wherever fine podcasts are found, TMOS is there too.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Pollock. I appreciate the confidence. Hey, don't let the stress of daily life weigh on your body. Whether you're an elite athlete or someone just like me, just trying to make it through the day tension-free, Theragun can help. Theragun is the handheld percussive therapy device that releases your deepest muscle tension using depth, speed, and power, and it's as quiet as an electric toothbrush. The Gen 4 Theragun gets to the source of the pain by releasing tension using Theragun's signature percussive therapy, which goes 60% deeper than vibration alone. There's no substitute for the Theragun Gen 4. The OLED screen and design is amazing. You got to go to their site and check it out. Plus, the Theragun app learns from your behaviors and suggests guided routines. Theragun is trusted by 250 professional sports teams like Real Madrid. Or is it Real Madrid? Real Madrid. And elite athletes like Paul George, DeAndre Hopkins, Maria Sharapova, hundreds of thousands of customers, and me. I love my Theragun. I use it all the time. And you should, too. Theragun, for 30 days, starting at only $199. Go to therabody.com/TMOS right now and get your Gen 4 Theragun today. That's therabody.com/TMOS. Remember, therabody.com/TMOS. We've got Shannon here. Let me just take a look at that. Theragun for 30 days. Oh, try Theragun for 30 days. I'm sorry.
I love my Theragun.
That was me. I didn't do it. Great. Shannon, how have you been?
Great. Thanks for having me, Mike. I'm excited to be here.
We haven't done a cocktail party show in a long time. We'll have to do one of those coming up because
soon.
The listeners love them.
Soon.
We'd love
soon,
to do that.
Soon.
So the Podville experience, you've been working at Podville alongside your hubby for a long time now. So, you know, we get updates regularly on everything that's going on at Podville. I'm curious because I've never really taken a deep dive with you about the miniature house. And how you do in the miniature house, okay? And I never really get a clear picture of the miniature house. Oscar will reference it. He will talk about it. But I'm curious about, as far as living in the miniature house, what are the joys of it? What are the frustrations of it? What are the, is there anything?
Is it as advertised? Because Pony
yes.
was just
and you
there.
Can, you,
Pony
this
was just
is,
there.
This is a Pony. It's the miniature house. I have never been there. I just don't spend time in D.C. unless I'm flying over it in an airplane. That's just the way of the world. That's the way it goes. So your home life, how is everything? How's everything going?
Well, I don't spend a lot of time at home.
Turn her microphone up, please, so I can hear her.
I think you got to bump up my gain. Go ahead. No, I just need my gain bumped up. I know what to do.
Yeah,
in
she
any
does.
Event.
Absolutely.
I can hear Pony laughing, which I appreciate. Thanks, Pon. But I also don't want to cover up my mouth.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, that we want to see your... Why are you shaking your head, Oscar?
It's mic technique. Talk into the mic.
But this is video, and for video, I don't want to cover up my mouth.
Oh, my God. Never mind. Go ahead.
That's not too much to ask.
Fair enough.
Thank you.
So how are things going? How
Great.
Is everything going in the home?
I don't spend a lot of time at home, but otherwise, it's good, which isn't, I think that's why it probably doesn't affect us too much that we don't have a large amount of space. But I'm a little person, so a little house isn't that big of a deal.
But as far as like the kitchen and not having
what do we have and what don't we have? Tell America.
Well, I mean, I would say we don't have a lot of like... space in the kitchen
it's a galley kitchen
and as the well this because this is the constant like if someone is in the kitchen
you someone has to leave
so if Rob and I were to come in your kitchen it would be
I would have to excuse myself. Yes, he bumps into me.
Yeah, I bump into her walking by her.
Are you
well,
your family
sliding by her on the side?
Do you come from an environment? You have sisters, right? You have sisters.
I have one sister and three brothers.
You have one sister and three. So you have a big family. Do you come from an environment where like the family would get together and cook things and bake and you know? And is that part of
big
your
kitchen.
Upbringing at all?
A little bit. I mean, like my brothers would cook.
Oh, your brothers would
my
cook.
Sister,
the women
my,
wouldn't cook.
Unfortunately, my sister likes to bake. My mom likes to bake. And they, I mean, they cook, but my brothers have always been like the really good cooks of the family.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So you don't miss, well, I get the point I'm getting. You don't miss having, and it's stereotypical, I don't mind telling you, that you think of women in a home saying, oh, it's all about the kitchen. You know, that women love the, oh, that's a beautiful big kitchen. That doesn't frustrate you.
Well, no, I feel like that, obviously, because I'm a human. I don't think it's necessarily just specific to women, but everyone
okay.
likes a nice big kitchen, and everyone
nice
likes a
kitchen.
Nice big, like,
but the point I'm trying to get
floor,
to...
You know,
do you wish that you could like spend time in your kitchen and
yeah.
make meals and that type? You do.
Yeah.
You miss
yes,
that.
Of course.
Okay. All right. What are the other frustrations?
I bump into a lot of stuff. So like I have like lots of bruises all the time.
I really didn't realize it was that
yeah.
small,
well,
Arthur.
No, I mean,
really
like,
had no idea.
Like the bathroom door, because the chimney is behind it, so like you open the door.
Yeah.
Actually, since our door handle fell off, not as big of a deal.
It's so true.
But so now
your
we
door
just
handle
like,
just is it an was it an a ye old door handle that was just old and fell to the
yes.
floor? Is that
yeah?
What
but, but we replaced it. But
5 years
be,
ago.
Yeah, 5 years ago, which I mean, but it's like one of those like regular like passageway door handles.
Lock.
So mm-hmm. they don't lock. Which is
right.
funny because our bathroom door has never locked, and I've never really thought about it until we've had like guests over. Like people must feel awkward not being able to lock the bathroom door
Yeah, for us, I would say so.
Yeah, we don't have anybody over for the
But we
most
don't ever
part.
Have anybody over, so it's not really an issue. But
right, right.
So, you know, the door handle has fallen off, but opening up the door now, it used to just like hit the wall, and there are times where like it would like hit me. It's right at hip height for me, so it hits me like right in the hip, which is super painful.
Do you are you enjoying your Peloton at all?
Oh, I love that. Yeah. I've made enough space for that.
Yeah. Where is the Peloton, Oscar?
Right outside in the kitchen.
Yeah, right outside the in the living room.
In the dining room.
Dining room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's in the dining room. It's in the dining room right now.
Yeah, it's more like a walkway.
Yeah, it's a walkway.
Yeah, yeah, Shannon. If you could think a few years down the road too, another living situation with the what would be the next step up as far as maybe a door with a handle on it?
What do you
dare to dream? Dare to dream.
The handle just fell off last week. All right, okay. And I went to Home Depot and I bought a new handle. I just haven't seen it.
Yeah, yeah. No, we did. Yeah.
I think. Let me make my point here. I think you two kids like that little domicile.
She's
I think
a city
you
kid.
Like. Yeah, I'm a city I think kitty. You the like location this, is everything.
The city kid. And really quick, because I ran out of time today, with Pony getting his car rolled. Out in front of your house.
Barely.
I've heard a lot of friends of mine, Chicagoans, New York City, from my daughter, that talk about these. That cities are becoming a little more intensely crime-ridden and dangerous. Is that the case, in your opinion, in D.C.?
Excuse me. Yes, but I mean that's like the current climate that we're in. There are a lot of people who don't have jobs who are living on the street, and I mean it also just kind of goes to show you how desperate people are if they're willing to try to break into, a Kia Stinger.
In broad,
that's right.
In broad daylight, in broad and Pony to get
like
that 11 window.
11 a.m.
You get that window fixed yet, Pony?
Oh, it's going to be replaced this week.
Oh, fabulous. That's good. I'm very ahead.
I mean, they hit it like 9 times.
Yeah. Also, it's socioeconomic, right? It's
I get it.
Yeah.
It's sobering. You realize it you're is. Like, well, you know. We got to count our blessings.
Yeah.
Broad daylight breaking into a car is just that's a little over the line when I think of that type of thing. Last question. I observed that your boy, with all the work, he seems in a good space headwise. Mentally, he seems like he's in a good space. With that, now I saw a little smile there. Would you agree? Disagree?
Oh, I'm smiling because Charlie's taking pictures of us.
Charlie Burney, the poobah, the grand poobah.
Yes, I want to make sure I was smiling.
Okay, very good. Shannon, pay attention. Is your boy Oscar happy, do you think? Hold on a second. We can take
happy.
Time.
Define happy.
Thank you very much. We got to take a break. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. That's Shannon Zabalios, ladies and gentlemen. Press the thing, Oscar. We got to go to it's awkward enough. It's awkward enough. Thank you very much. Define happy. We'll leave it at that. Shannon, thank you for coming by and visiting and showing your pretty face on the show. It was very nice. You can go back to the candy.
Thank you.
And we will take a break. And I have a... Yeah. No, you can hang out. The digital dumpster coming up next.
Mrs. Z wants candy.
Hey, look at that.
Well, we should have something sweet.
She loves candy.
Airheads, they're sour. Sour Patch. The watermelon flavored ones.
Sweet Tarts.
Nerds. Black Licorice.
Shannon.
Good and Plenty. Chocolate.
A Hershey bar.
Peanut butter cup.
Mary Jane's. Bit of Learning. I ate all of my favorite candies.
Don't worry, Peach. You can stock up on all your favorites through the Mike O'Mara Shopping Center. Click the banner at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
That's it. It's a quick hit, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. This portion of our program is brought to you by our good friends at Tommy John. This summer, make some climate change happen in your pants. Apollo is Tommy John's newest and most advanced men's underwear yet. With a performance-grade dry-release fabric blend that is exclusive to Tommy John, it's Tommy John's latest comfort innovation, and you can't get it anywhere else. Apollo men's underwear is proven to keep you drier and up to 7 degrees cooler than regular cotton underwear. That's why Tommy John doesn't have customers. They have fanatics! Apollo underwear is soft, supportive, stretches for the perfect fit every day, and is available in sizes up to 4XL. So get that extra dessert, pal. Rob wrote that. With over 15 million pairs sold, men across America love Tommy John underwear because there's no more delicious underwear and there's no more... I better read it the correct way. Because there's no more flopping. Not really sure what that means, flopping down there. Sticking or chafing. Look, Tommy John is wonderful. It's why I wear them. The weather is always perfect in my pants. And like all Tommy John underwear, Apollo comes with the best pair you'll ever wear or it's free guarantee. Tommy John's new Apollo men's underwear is high-end for your rear end, and you can't get them anywhere else. Here's what I want you to do right now. Get 20% off your first order at TommyJohn.com/TMOS. Go to TommyJohn.com/TMOS for 20% off TommyJohn.com/TMOS. See site for details, and we appreciate you, Tommy John. Let's open up the digital dumpster right now, see what's in there. And hey, nobody's in there. Yeah, I didn't put a dead guy in there today.
I like that. That's the way that goes. A little upbeat here on a Wednesday.
It is. I decided that I would do this. All right. Now, I have to find the thing here. And when I do, I will do it. Oh, my God. Where is it? I've lost it. Hold on. Talk amongst yourself.
Shannon, when you say I'm unhappy, do you mean that or are you just doing shtick?
I didn't say that.
Oh.
Thank you.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
No, I'm just trying to. Oh, I got it. I got it.
You got it.
Well, no, I mean, she just said define it. That's all she did. She wanted us to define it.
Well, I think that's there's fair. Different levels of happiness, right?
Oh, my God. I lost the digital dumpster. That's God damn it. There. Mike, what kind of pro are you doing? You're trying to. Oh, Rob is going to be so effing happy right now.
Why?
He is going to be
normally
so...
the show falls apart.
Is this, oh, does he normally God. Do this?
Yeah, look. Thanks for listening.
I spent the entire morning grabbing sounds, and I don't have my sounds.
You
wrote
it. You got to read it.
All right.
That's rough.
All right, hold on a second. I'm doing it right now.
Okay.
I lost it. I lost the thing. I am
you dumped
so
it.
Pissed.
You
I am
literally
so,
dumped.
You dumped it.
I dumped it. That's exactly what I did.
Picked it up.
This is the worst f***ing app in the entire world, as far as that,
this
I labeled
unhappy.
It, this and I am not. I am.
Unhappy.
I am
unhappy.
Really,
unhappy
really.
Now.
I am so unhappy right
that.
Now. No. I am so. No. I am
but
so.
At least
I'm looking
lets
through
it out.
Everything.
It's okay.
Right now, I'm letting it out. It's just in the wind. Okay. It's in the wind. I dumped it. That's what Shannon's describing. Is I put together a soundboard, separate thing. Mm-hmm. That's and then I switched over to my soundboard, yeah. And it vanished.
Boom!
I'm going to find this if I'm.
Did you sync it?
I don't know if I synced it or not.
Yeah, I have TV themes we could do.
Boom. No, I don't want to do that. I want to really. This is going to ruin my day if I don't. If I don't have them.
Or
so
we can go. Survivor.
Turn that down. It's too loud. It's too loud.
Or
so goddamn
we go
upset.
Three's Company season one.
Oh my God. A guy named Eric Booker set the Guinness record for chugging 2 liters of soda, and then Mike decided to shit the bed with his audio production. I am really, really not happy.
This is a killer theme.
Man. Yeah, I know, but your levels are all over the place, though. They're really all over
the really
place.
Are they really low right now?
This is not mine.
You're very, very, very
this is Rob's
low. I'm very... You know, we did really, really well until the very end, and then... I'm going to try to find it one more time.
Pony, you tell me if this works for you. How are the levels?
Ooh, I like that one.
Oh, this is nice.
Yeah.
We should play this throughout the office.
Will Mike find his audio
No,
vault.
Wrong voice.
What's the voice?
This should be
You know, the day was going so well for me.
It still can. Listen to the music.
I just don't want to listen to the music. I am really, really upset.
Maybe you should close the app and then reopen it.
In a world where you have one job.
All right, I'm going to do that.
You know where
Shannon's giving me some valuable advice here. Let me see what happens.
Meanwhile, these two.
It's in the upside down.
The upside down? Oh, yeah. My God. Your audio vault is in the upside down. Mm. You disappeared.
Oh, is this the upside? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to do the bit about me talking to myself because I'm that upset with myself right now. I have my show today.
Oh no!
I have absolutely destroyed. I am really. I have destroyed my program. I have ruined it today. Trying to do something that somebody else does. Really? I'm going to tell. I am. There's no one to blame. It is me. I have Prices Right.
Now Jingles I see where he gets it from.
Mailbag in the Yak Shack. Memorial Day 2.
What are you audio talking about? Accountability.
It's a Bill Shannon. Madness. Shannon. What do you mean? What do you mean by that?
Oh my gosh! It's like it's the end of the world. I have my show.
It just. I am so angry.
Full responsibility. I'm not even going
to. It was
do
in
the,
my soundboard. It was in my soundboard number. Oh, wait a minute.
He does this on the regular.
No. I do not do that.
Different version.
I'm not going to have but fun.
I'm looking. It's gone.
It's
killed it.
It's time to work.
It's time to move on. It's time to move on.
Yeah, time to move on.
Okay, bitch. I am so mad at myself right now. The time that I took to put that together, the time
that
I took. We are not today.
Tomorrow.
We are not going to hear the guy that chugs. No, not tomorrow.
Did you test before the show?
Huh?
Did you test?
No, I didn't have to. I didn't. I've done it before.
I think you did.
We're not going
to
hear the guy that chugged the 2 liters of soda, the torrent storm chasers.
No.
I'm so upset. I am so upset. Hold on. I'm gonna I'll handle it. Okay. Let me do this while we're doing this. I'll get this right. I swear to God, I will fix this as we're talking right now. We didn't get the guy chugging the soda. I'm gonna try to find it right now.
Oh,
let me see if I can get it for you. I know.
Full derail.
What could this is full derail.
Yes.
We don't have time for
There is
derails.
One guy that's going to be delighted today.
Well,
did you hear him, Carrie? Did you hear him trying to do what I was going to do? Yeah.
Who cares? Really you have a lot of wins.
He couldn't.
He doesn't.
Yeah.
Let him have it.
All right, here we go. I'm gonna try. On the fly.
We got bigger fish to fry.
Oh, all right. All right. Would you like to hear the guy named Eric Booker who set the Guinness Book of World Records for chugging 2 liters of soda?
Absolutely.
It's a crappy sound, but, you know, let's see. He did it in 18 minutes and 45 seconds. So I don't understand why he said 18 minutes, but this is what it sounded like. It's got a little music behind it. Let's listen.
3, 2, 1. That's what I'm talking about. That was delicious.
Thank you.
Excuse the bad man. Sorry about that.
There you go. Wasn't that worth it?
Yeah. I liked it.
No,
what was
really
he drinking?
He was drinking. I don't know what kind of soda it was, but it was some sort of soda. It was Hard Mountain Dew. That's what it was.
Yes.
Hard Mountain Dew. And then I go down and there's really nothing
else. What's the next story, Mike?
Storm chasers are a bit off. This guy was in northern Illinois where he was looking at a tornado, I guess a very, very severe tornado. And I had it all really, really nicely organized.
Storm chasers,
but
one of the
I apologize
best,
for the delay.
On Discovery Channel.
Well, he considered this to be a violent tornado.
Oh, okay.
So let's listen to this and see what happens.
Ripping up the trees! It's about to cross the road! That is a violent tornado! Violent tornado! Violent tornado! This is a violent tornado! That is easily an EF2. Violent tornado east of Sycamore.
It was a violent tornado. Yeah. That's what he was saying. It was a violent tornado. That's exciting. He was an a-hole. Thank you very much. That's the
Jeez.
Digital.
Oh, concert. Okay.
I had 5 other sounds, but couldn't play them because I'm a dip. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. We got to get out of here, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, Shannon, thanks for coming by. Sorry you had to see that. That was a textbook
Great.
Example of how not to be a professional broadcaster. But I did do some button pushing on the fly and got it out there.
Yeah.
So that's it. And then, you know, later on, I'm not even going to linger after the show's over and try to find it. I enjoyed taking the deep dive on you, Oscar.
I
thought that was a lot
well.
Of fun.
Thank you.
You know, and I'm glad that the real FF came from me at the very end of the show. I'm not going to let it bother me. I'm going to move on with my life. And anybody, anything you'd like to say to wrap things up, Shannon? I know you're looking at yourself in the monitor.
No, I can't see myself, but I'm looking at your backdrop. It needs to come up. Just a heads up. Always a
pleasure. You mean like lift
like,
it up?
Yeah, like it's too low. You see it?
No.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Pony.
You mean help my body has to come up?
No, like, no, your no. backdrop.
Are you talking,
the backdrop.
Are you talking like up. This?
Oh, no.
That could work.
Then the top of your head's going to get cut off.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll work on that in post-production. Thank you very much for Shannon Zaballos, Oscar Santana, Ponyboy Matt Bloom. This is Mike O'Mara saying, stay tuned tomorrow for the Digital Dumpster, a fantastic feature that I named. No, I didn't. We'll be right back tomorrow. Thank you. So long, everybody. Jesus.
Bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Got an element you need to play here.
Get it at MichaelMaraShow.com. Want more? Make sure you check out the Michael Marabona Show. Get it at MichaelMaraShow.com.
I mean, she's not smart at all. I told her our kid is spoiled. She told me a lot of kids smell that way.
Ow! We got a bleeder!